Something for the weekend. It's Saturday. It's Trina and Helen Walsh is on the line from EmployFlex. And the reason we're talking to you today, Helen, is because there are so many people looking for new jobs at the moment, possibly because of COVID and their job is gone, or possibly because they just fancy a change after being at home all this time and maybe something more flexible. But interviews can be very daunting for people, especially if they've been in the same job for maybe 15 years and they can't remember how to do an interview. And then, of course, we have the fact that so many interviews are being done over Zoom at the moment. So, Helen, you might help us out today and go through some tips on interviewing and how to answer difficult interview questions. Is that all right?
No problem.
Great. OK, so before we even start, what do you do if your Zoom interview won't connect, or it freezes, or they haven't sent you the link on time and you're kind of in a panic?
That's it, Trina. And you might find it hard to believe, but actually some companies do this intentionally as a kind of a first test to see how people kind of work under that little bit of pressure. So I think if you haven't received the link, the Zoom invite in advance, make sure you check in. You'll have either a contact like a recruiter like ourselves, or just check in with whoever set up the interview, and exchange mobile numbers as well, so that if there is some hitch, you can continue. You have access to a number and can speak to them. Otherwise, if the camera isn't connecting, find out if they're okay to, you know, that they can't see you, but that you can still take the interview via Zoom, but just not be seen. But I think the main thing is to keep calm and just show calmness under that pressure. You know, the last 18 months, we've all had some form of technical hitch on some work call or another. So, you know, we're only human after all. So
Yeah.
Just keep the cool.
Keep the cool. When they ask you, I hate this one, tell me about yourself. What details do you think you should give and what should you keep to yourself?
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. Some people launch into, I was born and this happened, and you know, you don't need to summarize your CV word for word here. Kind of keep it concise. I think what's great to think about is that fundamentally that question could also be asked as, what do you want the interview to remember about you? So answering this question, you know, kind of gives you that power to make that first impression and structure the rest of the interview for your benefit. So really, I started my career in X. Most recently, I've worked in Y. I'm here now today because I'm, you know, excited for the next step in my career, and that's why I'm interviewing, and this role really appeals to me. So just use a couple of nuggets of some of the transferable tasks and skills you have used in your previous for the role that you are interviewing for today. So short and concise.
So keep it completely about the career rather than yourself personally. Like, don't be saying, oh, I'm married, I've got three children, and all that kind of jazz.
Absolutely not. There's no place for any of that kind of personal information in an interview at all.
Okay, yeah. And that was another question actually that came in on our text. Somebody was wondering, should you let on, say if you were in early pregnancy, should you let on? Is that something that you should divulge or not?
No, like there's an Equality Act out there, Trina, and you are not at all obliged to inform a potential employer. I would say just take it on a case-by-case basis. Trust your own judgment. If it's a short-term role, then of course you could mention it and assure them that, you know, I have the 6 months, I will commit. And timing is perfect for me because then I'll be taking a break to raise my kids. You know, positions that are, you know, in the larger multinationals where there might be many people doing the same role, you know, a pregnancy might not cause that much of a major adjustment for the employer. But legally, you do not have to. But I think, you know, if it's a small to medium business and, you know, they're looking for a year contract and you can't commit, then I think, you know, the honest thing to do, you know, you have to kind of see what fits right with you.
Because I just think they're not going to give you, I know there is the Equality Act and everything, but realistically, are they really going to give you the job if they know that you're going to be heading off in a few months' time?
Of course. I mean, this is the thing. This is the unsaid thing there. You know, if they hear that, they could come back and give you an excuse that somebody was stronger. And unfortunately, that's the current struggle. That's still going to be a struggle in 20 years' time. It will always be there.
How will you ever know for sure? Yeah.
Exactly. You can't. And like nobody's going to put anything in writing. You know, they're going to say verbally that, you know, somebody else is stronger than you. But yeah, it is a tough one. And of course, they can never ask you that question as well. They can never ask you about family plans or anything like that. So be cognizant of that as well.
Right. The next difficult question we have, Helen, how to answer what achievements you've had to date. People are shy about kind of bigging themselves up, aren't they?
They really are, especially in Ireland. I think we're the worst at you're talking about our accomplishments and all of that. I think this one, you can, it doesn't really have to be a work one. I think it's something as honest as it could be about sport, it could be something around fundraising, it could be something just to show some kind of grit, determination, and maybe something around teamwork as well. a lot of people now have pulled together new accomplishments since the pandemic. You know, they've overcome a new challenge or something, whether it's kind of managing little people homeschooling and holding on to a job, some people taking up running and different types of exercise. So I think really, it's as long as it's something that isn't too easy and unique to you, and as long as you're kind of passionate about talking about it, I think that's the most important.
I have a pal who during lockdown lost 9 stone in weight. There's an achievement.
Oh my goodness, now there you go.
Yeah, but like that is an achievement, isn't it? I know it might not sound like it's related to your work, but it shows that you've got focus and you put your mind to something and you do it.
That's incredible. Oh my goodness, that's an unbelievable. And see, that's very memorable, Trina. And that's, you know, it's something that they can go, oh, which candidate was that? Oh, that accomplishment, amazing. You know, if they're trying to remember, if they're interviewing 4 people in a row, it's just something, the differentiator.
Just don't mention winning the egg and spoon race when you're in second class on sports day. That's not going to matter.
Go back to that.
The other question that sometimes comes up in an interview and can kind of make people a bit nervous, because they don't want to badmouth the company they're leaving. And that's always a top tip. Never give out about your current or your past employer. How to answer the question if you're happy with your career to date, or why you're leaving your current job. How would you answer that one without saying, because I assume most people probably leave because they're unhappy, but you don't really want to say that in an interview.
That's right. Yeah. And like, I suppose you can say, the way I'd advise on this question, Trina, is like, you know, while I'm happy with my career and the job at present, I've learned what I can in my current role, and the growth opportunities may not be there anymore. So I'm confident and know I can maybe give a bit more, ready for a challenge, ready for a change. So that type of way. So you can still speak positively about, and I mean, a lot of these questions, really, they're not really caring about the answer, really. It's more about the delivery and maybe listening to your tone of voice and attitude, you know, as well. So I think, you know, just saying, you know, I've learned what I can, and I do enjoy it, but I know that there's more in me, there's more growth, and, you know, I'm ready for that kind of next step.
Look, isn't that a really an easy answer when you're prepared? It's all about being prepared, isn't it? So you're not thrown in the interview.
And that's what I'd say to you as well. I think I tell people to kind of prep around, you know, 4 or 5 nuggets of information that you want to get into an interview. And they can be tailored to some questions, you know, so that's kind of an important kind of tip as well.
What are your weaknesses? People don't like to admit being weak, but we all are weak in some areas. So what are your weaknesses? How would you answer that difficult interview question?
Yeah, it's always the toughie. Don't say anything. What's important is, you know, knowing the roles and duties of the role you're applying for, and make sure you don't say anything that negatively impacts that role. So a few ideas would be ideas where, you know, yeah, I'm not strong at this, but this is what I've done to overcome it. So my greatest weakness is that I maybe have trouble saying no. I, you know, take on more tasks. But what I'm doing to improve in this is I'm using a project management app on my phone now and, you know, assigning so much time to different tasks. Mm-hmm. Another weakness answer could be an area that I could use more experience in would be a certain software, maybe public speaking, presenting. Another one that I really like actually and heard recently is I can have trouble asking for help. And I think this is quite brave and it kind of shows a bit of self-awareness. And I think it'll be seen very, you know, positively by the interviewer.
One I think that will probably come up for people who maybe are interviewing for the first time after leaving a job after maybe 15 years or so. Social media is such a new thing now, really. If you haven't worked in that in the past or you haven't needed it in old jobs, it seems to be quite relevant these days. People of our age group who wouldn't be the best at social media may be saying, well, maybe social media, but I'm doing a course in it or I'm learning more about it. It just seems to be something that I know my friends now are put off when they see in an ad that you have to be competent in social media as well.
Yeah, I think you can't avoid it, right? As much as you cannot avoid it, especially if any of this kind of marketing or any sales or any retail role, you're going to end up managing some form of social media channels. But I think it's great to say, but I am upskilling and I'm doing a short digital course. You know, these days there are so many courses available. They're short term. A lot of them are free if you're job seeking. So I think just show that you're kind of proactive about that. That'll be seen very positively.
There's a question. What do you dislike about your current job?
Oh, that's a tough one. Now, I suppose, again, as I said earlier on the weakness one, they're really just trying to get a sense of your character and your personality, really, rather than hearing you, I don't like this, I don't like this person. So really, again, I always would lead with the positive. You know, my years at X company, you know, they have been good to me. I've learned a lot. And then after that kind of positive, follow it with more in-depth info then around maybe some lack of growth potential. There's no more opportunities for growing, or maybe a few people were laid off. So there's a bit of stability issues there. Or again, the not having enough challenges one. So I think it's just as long as you kind of lead with a positive and, again, do not badmouth. You know, you can dislike certain tasks about your company, but do not badmouth the company itself.
No. And you know what? Ireland is also so tiny. You never know. They could know somebody working there and everything. So, yeah, never a good idea. How do you explain gaps in a CV then? I mean, should you include all of your jobs, even if you're only working there briefly?
You know what? It's kind of a case by case, Trina. If you were in a short term role, but that there are some transferable skills to the job you're going for, then of course get that in, even if it's a 4 to 6 weeks. But kind of a rule of thumb, we'd say if it's any job over 3 months, for sure mention it, because that will minimize any of the gaps. And I think the word gap is so negative, unfortunately. Include jobs for sure, because it'll just reduce the need to kind of question that, because, you know, they are, of course, going to zone in on that gap. So I always advise to maybe preempt that potential question and say, and as you can see there, I was lucky enough to take time to raise my kids, you know, look after an elder, go back to study, whatever it is, bring it around like that. And now here I am today, excited to get back into the workforce.
So if you went into a job and you worked there for like 2 months or something and it was relevant to the role you're going for, but you hated working there and you left, would you include that or leave it off?
Ooh, it's a tough one. So there's the catch.
And that's why we're doing the topic on the difficult questions.
Yes, absolutely. As long as you left on okay terms and were honest with them, and that you can be honest in about, oh, you were there, but you stayed there for only 2 months, can you explain why? Like, anytime I'm interviewing, and if any person has left under the 6 months, of course, I'm going to kind of flag that and say, can you give me an explanation? And they're often very valid, honest explanations, and that's perfect. So, I would. If it might give you the edge, even if it was only for 6 or 8 weeks of, you know, roles and responsibilities in that previous role, then it might give you an edge in this new role, then of course raise it, as long as you're comfortable giving the answer as to why you left.
And have an answer ready as well, yeah. What are your hobbies when you don't really have any? They always ask you that kind of thing, don't they? I don't have any hobbies, do you?
Oh, Trina, you do, of course. You work in radio. Like, of course, like people will say, like, podcasts.
Yeah, I work in radio. You're right. You know, I never thought of that. My hobby turned into my career. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I'm sure you love delving in more to people you've potentially had a chance to interview or documentaries. Yeah. A lot of my friends have said the same thing, but over COVID, they've all kind of hopped on the interior design bandwagon and started to do some DIY products in their jobs in their homes. Yeah. Or food is another one. You know, I've really hopped on the cooking and the foodie bandwagon in terms of doing some cook-alongs with my kids and all of that. So I think you could, if you dug deep enough, you surely could find something.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if it's Netflix, you can pull some really, really good Netflix documentary or next Netflix show that's funny. It'll show a little bit of personality. So I'd say dig deep. I suppose the last thing you want to say is, no, I don't have any hobbies.
Or, I know.
We definitely don't want to hear, oh, I'm just so focused on my role, because we're gone of those days where we say, oh, fair play, you work all day and all night.
Oh, yeah. The other thing is, people used to always put down reading. I mean, yeah, everybody reads, but come on, come up with something different on a CV. They've seen that a million times before.
Yeah, or going to the gym as well. But actually reading, I heard somebody recently was asked, what are you reading at the moment? So you really have to be ready. If you put that down, you need to have a little synopsis of a book that's current and that you're reading at top of mind.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, Cass. Another question that might come up, give an example of X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, what kind of questions can arise when they're asking for examples of things you've done?
Yeah, so this, I suppose this is called like the STAR questions, STAR, S-T-A-R. I don't know if you've heard of that, Trina. So STAR is like S for situation, T for the task, A for action, and R for results. So questions would be like, tell me about a time where you made a mistake and how you overcame it. Tell me about a time where you dealt with a difficult customer, client, colleague. Or tell me about a time that, you know, some stressful situation, how did you handle that? So they want to just know that in a concise format, you know, there was a colleague and we weren't getting on and, you know, we sat down together and came to some kind of conclusion. It's just a great way of learning a little bit more about how you work and, you know, I suppose how you get on with people and whether you're, you know, a relationship person.
Okay, so you should, before you do your interview, write down the scenarios that might come up and have examples ready in your head, because there's nothing worse than sitting there and then being asked that and you can't think, you can't remember something, you know, and it looks like you've kind of been unprepared for the interview.
That's it. Like pull, and you know, again, it could be from sports, it could be from college where you were doing a group work and there's somebody not doing as much as, you know, just, and you know what, it's really hard to lie in these kind of examples. So have a few. We all have dealt with something difficult. We've all made a mistake. we've all had a stressful, under pressure time crunch. Yeah. Write it down and write, this was the situation, this was the task in hand, this is the action I did, and this was the result. And just have it short
concise. Because I think in every job you'll find that there's a colleague who's doing all the work and somebody else who's doing very little. So you're going to have examples of that kind of thing. Another one, I don't know whether they still ask this one or not. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do they ask that one still?
They don't really. It's a bit of an old school one. However, there are still some of the more traditional interviewers out there. So I think, I mean, the last thing that you want to answer is like, I want to be in your shoes. I want to be, you know, have your job. I think it's all around, you know, as long as I'm in a company that I'm still learning and being challenged and growing, if I can take on some more managerial tasks down the line in a company that's enabling me to build a career there. That's what I hope.
Because I doubt they want to hear, oh, I want to be sitting where you are. It's kind of cheeky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit cringe. Yeah, it is.
And then the big one, I guess, we're terrible when it comes to talking about money. The question, what are your salary expectations? Because sometimes you've got no idea of the salary when you're going for the job and you don't want to go too low or too high to put them off. So how do you answer that?
Well, if it's not advertised, and to be fair, we don't ever kind of in employee sex, we would always make sure we have a salary range, so we know exactly, you know, if this works for this candidate. But if not advertised, you can go do your research as well online. It's easy to find some Irish salaries and kind of ranges, and even from county to county as well, very different. So have your research done firstly. But I think saying a line, I know it's kind of a bit cheesy, but like, I hope you have a salary in place to reflect my experience and skills. That's kind of a nice line, just without saying I am looking for X amount. To be honest, they wouldn't ask this in the first interview, and they often know already before even shortlisting you what you're looking to earn. But a lot of people do add on a few percent from their current salary, and that's okay. Just a couple of percent, that's no problem. Just don't inflate it too much, because then they'll know that, you know, it's not very realistic.
Can I ask you something, actually? A friend of mine was asked for, she was going for a new job that paid a lot more than her current job, and they asked her for a salary cert from her previous job. Is that legal?
Ooh, you know what? I don't think they were legally allowed to ask me for that.
I didn't think so either.
No, because I know another friend that was asked the same, because he did inflate by a few percent. You know what? I don't think they're not legally allowed to do that. Fair enough, P45s and all of that, but no, they're not allowed to ask. So yeah, no, they can't ask that at all.
The other thing is, I mean, why would you be going to change a job unless you were going to get either a similar salary or better money? Like, why would you bother moving? Because that's really the reason most people move, is to get a better salary. It's kind of none of their business what you used to earn.
No, they should know what you're worth, and they should have an idea. And not just trying to be lowballing all the time.
So in the first interview, you wouldn't recommend talking about money or anything like that. Wait until the next stage.
Like, to be honest, if you're getting called for an interview and you don't know the rate, like, you should be asking straight up, because there's no point in time wasting on either party's side unless you have an idea that it fits in with where your next step, where your plans are.
What would you say then? They normally wrap up interviews by asking, do you have any questions? So what kind of questions would you recommend asking?
Oh, I think this is such an important one, Trina. I'm glad you asked, because it really can separate you from the other candidates and can show that you've done your research. I have a few candidates interviewing right now, actually, for great roles. And I've given them some of these questions, like, ask back to the people interviewing you, what do you personally like most about working for this organisation? And that's quite great, because then you get a true idea of, you know, the culture there. What do you find most challenging about working for this organisation is another one. And then you can bring it back to yourself. You know, if I am successful in this role, how will you measure and evaluate my success in the first 3 to 6 months? So you're really setting yourself up. You're confident, you're putting yourself in the role, but also you want to make sure that you tick all these parameters that they set in place for measuring success for the role early days.
I'm laughing, actually, about what you mentioned there, Helen, about how we research salaries for, you know, similar jobs, and we can do that quite easily online. I looked up Ryan Tuberty's salary there when I was going for this job, and it hasn't matched up to Ryan's, I have to say.
You're very close to him, I'm sure.
Very close, yeah. I'm just tipping the half a million. I'm not quite there, but very close. Gas, isn't it, when you think? Listen, thanks so much, Helen, and we'll be sure to check out your website as well, because I know you're looking after loads of people, and particularly for flexible roles, Employee Flex, that's the idea of your company, which is great for people who have realised, I guess, and you were doing this long before that, but over the last couple of years, people have realised flexibility is quite important when it comes to picking a job, really, too.
Absolutely. definitely number one now, and we've been working on it for 5 years. I know the last 18 months everyone has been maybe launched into some form of remote work, but I suppose we, the candidates on our database, have, you know, been doing it before that, so they're quite equipped. And come check us out and get in touch if you are actually seeking a any form of flexible role.
Okay, and what's the website there again?
Employflex.ie.
Helen, thanks so much for all that advice today, and hopefully people can get a few tips from that going forward doing their interviews. And the thing is, if you're prepared for your interview, you're going to come across so much better than if you're going in and you haven't a clue what they're going to ask you. So there are kind of a few questions, difficult ones that come up that might leave you stumped, but at least you're ready now. Thanks so much, Helen.
You're welcome, Trina. Take care.
This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.